I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The first few days of the new year are often a time when we make a special effort to remember the people who've died over the course of the past year, famous or otherwise, people who've had an impact on those around them. In the next few minutes, we're going to tell you about two such remarkable people who were profiled in the Washington Post magazine. But first, a tribute to a pivotal figure in the fight against apartheid. Memorial services were held this weekend in South Africa for Helen Suzman, who died on New Year's Day. Suzman served as a member of South Africa's parliament from 1953 to 1989. Much of that time, she was a lone voice in parliament decrying the government's oppression of South Africa's black majority. And as such, she earned the hatred of many of her fellow whites in South Africa's political establishment. Once, when President P.W. Botha fiercely attacked Suzman, she famously responded, "I'm not frightened of you. I never have been, and I never will be. I think nothing of you." With us to tell us what he thinks of Helen Suzman is Glenn Frankel. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer and a visiting professor of journalism at Stanford University. He reported extensively on South Africa and Helen Suzman in the early 1980s when he was working for The Washington Post. Glenn Frankel, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Michelle.
First of all, how did you meet Helen Suzman?
Well, I first arrived in 1983 and went to the first parliamentary session, as I recall, in early 84. And the South African government at the time, the white-ruled, minority-ruled regime, was attempting to reform itself. They were trying to convince the United States and other Western countries that they were, you know, gradually letting up the chains, loosening the chains a bit of apartheid. So they were being extremely welcoming at the time. But Helen Suzman was a real thorn in their side because Helen was quick to point out in all the different ways they weren't reforming. And Helen always made a point of befriending new foreign correspondents or Western diplomats. She knew she was on a short leash there, that she could get in trouble very easily. And she felt that one of the ways she could protect herself, I think, was to establish ties with outsiders. And so she invited me and my wife for tea at the Parliament buildings in Cape Town in early 1984. And was very charming and very gracious, but extremely pointed in her criticism of the government.
But when you talk about getting in trouble, what do you mean? I think that in this country, sometimes we have difficulty understanding what it might be like to be one voice, you know, in a government in which everyone is on the other side. So what do you mean?
South Africa was a police state, and they had lots of laws that allowed them to basically make you disappear. They could lock you up for 90 days and then decide to lock you up for another 90 and another 90 without ever charging you, without giving you a lawyer. For people like Helen, who weren't in the violent resistance to apartheid, the penalties were a little different, a little less harsh, but no less tough in the sense that they would harass you, they would wiretap your phone, they would follow you around. Sometimes they would frame people, blackmail them. And the idea basically was to get you out of the country, was to get you to leave, to make life so unpleasant you had to go. They tried a few of these things with Helen. She always knew that her phones were wiretapped, that they were listening all the time. But at the same time, they couldn't really touch her because, again, she was a lone voice. She was well known internationally, and it probably would have been more trouble than it was worth to really go after her.
Did she ever consider leaving the country?
I'm sure she considered it at times. She never told me that. But I tell you, Helen was the kind of person who, at some level, really enjoyed being the lone voice. She really felt her responsibility, and she got a certain pleasure out of it. As you pointed out in your introduction, she was willing to take on the most powerful person in South Africa and to insult him to his face. And in a funny way, this was something I think she really enjoyed. She saw it as her place. She thought it was important. As I said, she never picked up a gun. She was not a radical by any means. But she felt that it was important to resist apartheid in all the quasi-legal ways you were allowed to. And for her, the most important way was to raise her voice.
What role do you think she played in the eventual end of apartheid? And do you think she actually thought she would actually win that fight in her lifetime, that she would actually see apartheid fall during her lifetime?
I think, like a lot of us, she was surprised at the swiftness with which the system finally went down. I mean, she knew it was, you know, even though it looked so strong and formidable, she knew that it was fundamentally fragile. And Helen, being a sort of classic liberal, understood that apartheid was not going to work economically and that it was costing South Africa dramatically in the world, global financial markets. So I think in some way she understood that it was a house of cards. But she still was a little surprised at the pace. You know, I went back to South Africa after Nelson Mandela was released and after black majority rule took over. And I wrote a book about the 1960s there. And I interviewed a lot of people who were radicals and people who were liberals and people who had opposed the regime. And I sort of saw them all as in a spectrum of resistance, if you will, that there were people who resisted the government with force of arms. There were other people who resisted it by using the own, you know, South Africa's own laws to work against it. Helen definitely was a legitimate opposition. She was the sole member of parliament for 13 years opposed to the regime. And this was her role. And I think we can find a place when looking at what happened and how apartheid was finally undermined and destroyed. I think you can look at a sort of, as I say, spectrum of resistance. And Helen belongs firmly on that spectrum.
What was her relationship with Nelson Mandela?
Well, Nelson Mandela, of course, was locked away in Robben Island from 1963 on. And basically, the only people who were allowed to visit him were members of parliament. He couldn't see a lawyer. He couldn't see family members. Helen Sussman was the only member of parliament who insisted on going to see him. She exercised her right to visit with him and other political prisoners, not only on Robben Island, but in other faraway places. And so she became to Nelson Mandela the sole source of sort of, if you will, civilized society coming to see him. And they forged quite a friendship of mutual admiration and respect. Mandela and Sussman disagreed on a lot of political things because he was much more radical, and as I say, she was a classic liberal. But it was that personal integrity, if you will, and that moral courage that I think bound them together. And when Mandela emerged from prison in 1990, finally, of course, one of the first people who came to see him was Helen Sussman.
When did you last speak with her?
I last saw her, I think, in the year 2000. I went there to give a book talk, and she introduced me, and we spent some time together. She was feeling increasingly pessimistic, I'm afraid, about the new government in South Africa. She was worried about AIDS. She was worried about Thabo Mbeki taking over as president of South Africa because Mbeki was not a champion of the campaign against AIDS. She was worried about unemployment, about the rising crime rate. But Helen was the kind of person who always was outside the mainstream. Whoever was running the government and whatever was running the government, it would have been inevitable that Helen, I think, would have opposed. She was a natural-born critic.
Glenn Frankel, Pulitzer Prize winner, former Washington Post reporter in Southern Africa, now a visiting professor at Stanford University, remembering Helen Sussman. Glenn Frankel, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.